Happy Father's Day. Say, Happy Father's Day. What a great day, huh? Glad you're here. Fathers, I hope you got a book when you came in. If you didn't, we got some extras, so see an usher. Get a little token of our appreciation for you being a father. Being a parent, father or mother, is not an easy task, but a worthwhile cause. Well, let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. We're not in the book of Romans today. We're not quite done with the book of Romans. But I thought it appropriate to address the fathers this morning. Colossians chapter 2, if you'll stand with me and follow along in Scripture as I read Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's see what God's Word has to say this morning. Certainly more important than what I got to say, isn't it? Verse 6, chapter 2. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, very words of God in our hands. Let us not take that for granted. Father, we appreciate the ability to come and worship freely together. What a joy it is to be with like-minded believers. And Father, what a privilege it is to open up your word and see what you have to say to us. And I pray that you'll speak to us this morning, that your spirit will convict us, teach us, help us to grow into men and women of God, men and women that please you in all that we do. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Andrew E. Douglas was the father of dendrochronology. Dendrochronology, it's the study of the growth rings in trees. 1911, this man found himself studying trees in Arizona. Kind of liked it. So made a whole career out of it. And between 1919 and 1936, he wrote volumes and volumes on his research about those growth rings. You know what I'm talking about? You cut a tree in half, and you see rings. They're called growth rings because you can tell how old the tree is by the rings. It's fascinating, actually. You can tell a lot more than just the age of a tree. You can tell everything that's gone through in the life of that tree. You can tell when there were years of lots of growth and years of not so much growth. You can tell when there's been drought or fire or pestilence. You can tell where the tree had to continue to grow even though it faced some type of obstacle. It's been cut or harmed or scarred or something's even gotten in its way. I learned two things as I studied dendrochronology. I said the word three times. That's pretty good for me. As I studied that this week, two things jumped out at me about trees. And that is, what happens today affects what the tree looks like tomorrow. And you can examine those growth rings and you can tell what happened to it. And the other thing that jumped out at me is surviving trees continue to grow. They continue to grow through whatever obstacle comes in their path. And so it reminded me of fathers. I think fathers, God wants us to be a bit like a tree. In fact, I love the old saying about an oak tree. You ever heard this one? An oak tree was once just a little nut that stood its ground. Sometimes God wants us fathers to be a bit like an oak tree. In fact, Scripture gives us some practical instructions on weathering the storms, Father, so that year by year we can grow, even in times of drought, even when there's obstacles in our path. In fact, Scripture tells us that we, as fathers, we don't even have to just survive, but we can actually thrive. So that's the goal this morning. So let's look at Scripture and see how men can be like a tree. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those who have received Christ, who are truly born again. And what does he tell those folks? Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so do what? So walk in him. If you're in Christ, live like it. Act like it. Those trees that grow through, anyway, I got some pictures, actually. I forgot about some pictures. We have a picture, too? Look at that tree. It grew right through an iron fence. How about another tree? Another picture. This one grew right around a brick wall. Just kept on growing. Trees have a tendency to do that when they survive. They keep growing no matter what gets in their way. And in verse 6, we see, hey, born again believers, listen, you received Christ, and just as you received Christ, walk in it. Walk in him. Behave like it. Walk and live in Christ. Currently, present tense. I did something in the past, but how am I doing today? See, a tree just doesn't do one thing at one time and that's it. It has to continue to grow, and so do us, men. We're going to be fathers that last. Changed hearts make for what? Changed lives. The heart has to change first before the life can change. And if there's no changed lives, then odds are there's no changed heart. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Secondly, true conversion results in practical living. I may accept Christ, trust Christ, and I got to live in Christ. Practically. What does that mean practically? How do we walk in him? It means that everything we do, guys, is to please God. Our whole life is wrapped up into pleasing God. Every decision, every action, even every thought is to please God. Is that where we are? Tough. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Go back a couple books of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. Actually, verse 3. We'll start and get a running start. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powered for the destruction of fortresses. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And get this, we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Wow. Spiritual battle, guys. Things get in your way. Life happens. Obstacles will occur. Drought comes. We have to walk, live in Christ. Every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Trees that last continue to grow, don't they? Fathers that last obey God. Fathers that last survive and thrive obey God. They walk in Christ all the time, everywhere, 24/7. Back to Colossians chapter 2. Fathers that last, verse 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been what? Firmly rooted. Analogy of a tree, isn't it? A plant. You're planted, you're rooted, you're in place. Notice that it's past tense. Having been firmly rooted, past tense. Now that you're in Christ, you're saved, you're planted, you're firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. You're drawing your strength from Christ as a tree or a plant draws its strength from the roots. You get yours, not only your strength, but your approval, your self-worth, your direction, all from Christ. These are the things that God's provided for us. Once we become saved, truly born again, and we're in Christ, we draw from Christ and His Spirit that He's given us, God's Holy Spirit. And we draw our strength, our self-value, our worth, our direction, our approval from God Himself. That's why it's past tense. Fathers at last obey God. Fathers at last are firmly rooted in Christ. They're not seeking approval or strength or self-worth or direction from outside Christ. What else? Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him. And now being built up in Christ. After you're in Christ comes the building up. That's the continual growing. In fact, being built up, the term built up is in the present passive tense. It means it's a continual action. It's not a one-time thing, but a continual action. We are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't stop there. If you've done any gardening at all, you know it doesn't stop with just planting the seed. It's got to be nurtured and watered. Present passive tense is a continual building up. It happens now. It happens tomorrow. It happens on Mondays, not just Sundays. A continual growth. In fact, the word is unique and it's also in a middle voice. We don't have a middle voice in English. What that means is that the subject is actually doing the action upon itself. You get me? Being built up. What God is telling us is it's a continual action, guys. Fathers that last will continually be built up, and they will do it themselves. You continually build up. It's your responsibility. It's great that you come on Sundays. We want you to come on Sundays. I want you to come on Sunday nights, or Monday or Tuesday mornings, and Wednesday nights. Or any time in between. But you have to do the building up. You have to continue. No matter how you slice it, guys, it's our responsibility. So what do we do? You heard it. How do we grow spiritually? You get into God's Word. You read it daily. You spend time with God daily. You've heard this before, haven't you? It hadn't changed. It'll never change. There's no shortcuts. Study God's Word. Memorize Scripture. Meditate on it. Pray. Get up early. Go to bed early. Grow continuously. Fathers at last take responsibility for their own spiritual growth, guys. Fathers at last obey God, are firmly rooted in Christ, and take responsibility for their own spiritual growth. And what else? Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. Same type of word, present passive, middle voice, continual action. You do it. You responsible for establishing your faith. Literally, it means to make stable. Fathers, at last, we have to make ourselves stable, get established in our faith. Can we give an answer for the hope that lies within us? Someone comes to us, ask us how to have eternal life, how to get to heaven. Can we explain that to them? Do we know where in Scripture to take them? Can we do any of that? Do we know who God is? I mean, there's a lot of people you ask about God and they'll say, well, to me, this is God. That's making an idol for yourself, a God to suit your own needs. What we can say, Scripture says, this is God. That's the true God. Do we know what God expects? If we don't, guys, we're not established in our faith. Fathers, at last, obey God, are firmly rooted in Christ, take responsibility for their own spiritual growth, and are stable in their faith. You with me? Instructions from God's Word. Verse 8, Colossians 2. Let's keep reading. There's more. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Captivity. God tells us to see to it that we're not captured by the enemy. Why is that? Because if we're captured by the enemy, we're not going to grow, are we? See to it. Whose responsibility is that? I hate that. Comes back to my responsibility. I'm to see to it that Chip is not taken captive by the enemy. And you're to see to it that you're not to be taken captive by the enemy. It's more responsibility. How does the enemy capture us? According to verse 8, through philosophy. Now, the world is full of opinions, isn't it? Everybody's got one. Our standard is to be what? God's Word. Absolutely. How else are we captive? Through philosophy and empty deception. What's empty deception mean? Lies. Lies. And how does that happen? Keep reading. According to the elementary principles of the world. According to the tradition of men. Men, fathers, I'm going to tell you, just like I told the mothers, the world lies to you. The world lies to you about what's important, about what's of value. The world lies to you about where you should be spending your time. The world lies to you about what you should be doing. The world lies to you, men, about what it is to be a man, a real man. The world lies to you. Instead, look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world. Paul is screaming at us, the world lies to us. Stay rooted in God's word, rooted in Christ. Make it your priority and your responsibility to grow. Be established, firmly stable in your faith. Rather, end of verse 8, than according to Christ. Fathers at last are captivated by the principles of Jesus Christ, not by the principles of this world. You with me? In fact, our desire is not only to not listen to the lies of the world, our desire is to be pleasing to God in everything. Go back one chapter with me in Colossians, chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. In fact, maybe we should start at 9 also. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk, you will live, you will behave in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him. When we feel like it, to please Him in some areas of our life, what does Scripture say? To please Him. This is the interactive portion of the program. In all aspects. In everything. Please God. That's spiritual growth, guys. Fathers that last, they obey God. They're firmly rooted in Christ. They take responsibility for their own spiritual growth. They're captivated by the principles of God and God's word. And they seek to please God in all aspects of their life. Let's keep reading verse 10 of Colossians chapter 1. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And that's spiritual growth, isn't it? Lastly, fathers at last produce what? Fruit. Result. It's not rocket science, is it? You're a step ahead of me already. Guys, it's not a matter of just knowing what to do. It's what? Doing it. Just as you received Christ, so then walk in Him. We know it up here. We've been to church before. We got to move it down here to our heart and believe it truly with a passion. Fathers at last, that's the picture. Fathers at last obey God, rooted in Christ, take responsibility for their own spiritual growth, stable in their faith, captivated by the principles of God. And fathers at last produce fruit. Scripture gives us a picture of that. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. I can't talk about growing spiritually in the analogy of a tree without going to Jeremiah 17. Look at verse 7. I'll give you a chance to get there. Jeremiah 17. In the Old Testament. And for those of you who are here that aren't fathers, guess what? Everything we're saying applies to you as well. Like an oak, little nut who stood his ground. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I'm with you. And whose trust is the Lord. That's a difference. I can trust God once. I can walk the aisle once. I can say a prayer once. Can I walk in Christ? Can I abide in Him? Can I please Him in every aspect, in all areas of life? Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Four, here you go. Here's the picture. Verse 8, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. That's it. That's the father that lasts. That's the picture of that person. Listen, the heat comes, doesn't it? Some of us are going to wake up tomorrow morning and face the heat, fathers, and the drought, figuratively, the rough times, the headaches, the hassles, the struggles of life. Man, if we're firmly rooted, if we're walking, abiding in Christ, if we're doing the things that God expects us to do so that we see to it that we're not captivated by the lies of this world, that we see to it that we are growing continuously, there's no fear. There's no anxiety. And our leaves don't wither up and fall. They stay green. They continue. Iron fence, cement wall, it doesn't matter. Whatever God has planned for my life, that's the picture. I have another picture, don't I? Maybe. The oak tree. That's us, fathers. Are you like me and you read Jeremiah 17 and you look at a picture like that and say, not even close, man. I'm not even close. That's the ideal thing, isn't it? But in reality, maybe it looks like the next picture. It's a mess. I got limbs growing all over the place. I can't even get off the ground in some places. Maybe that's where we are. That's okay. Got another picture? Look at this guy. You see that? Follow that. This guy's doing loop-de-loops. That tree's been all over the place. Maybe that's like your life or my life. You know, it started out a little bit, and then, man, it turned right, and then it kept turning right until it was doing 360s, man. Is that the way your life feels sometimes? All twisted up, mangled. I'm growing in all these different directions. How about another picture? How about this guy? Whoa, he came and went. A little shy. This is the college kid, right? See there? He's with mom and dad. Everything's going okay. He gets to college. Boom, he's just out of whack. Right? Just took a hard left. Freedom. One more picture. That's my favorite. Because I think that's what Jeremiah 17 looks like. We're moving along, man, in one direction. We're wholeheartedly trying to fight the good fight, hang in there, struggling, surviving, providing for our families, doing the best we can. But we don't have Christ. And you see the little bend there? He's going up about towards 10 o'clock. And then at that tree, some point in the life of that tree, what happened? Got straightened out, didn't he? Changed heart. And follow that from the trunk up to that little bend, and boom, at some point that tree, there was a change. That's us guys. I don't care how messy and tangled the trunk looks now, guys. There's a changed heart. Keep following up the tree. It's straight. And then guess what? Lots of areas of fruit. Lots of branches. Green leaves. We can look like that. Fathers at last. They're not that idealistic oak tree with, you know, it looks like some hallelujah chorus is going to be singing with the sun shining through it. I mean, life's like this. Life's messy. It gets tangled. God wants us to produce fruit. He wants us fathers to last. Not just survive, but to thrive. And we can. And we can be a tree like that. We can be a father that lasts, who obeys, is firmly rooted, established in our faith, captivated by the truth of God's principles. But you know what the first step is? Well, absolutely. To be in Christ, you got to put your faith and trust in Jesus. The first step is to stop. You start by stopping. Men, we have this some way about us that we just want to keep plowing ahead. We don't want to admit that our tree's mangled and twisted, do we? We pretend that everything's fine. And when we hear it, we hear God speaking to us, we resist. You start by stopping resisting. You start by yielding, surrendering to Christ. And you start with your heart. Get your heart right with Christ. And we can look like a tree that produces fruit for Christ. And our families will benefit from it greatly. Won't you stand with me as we bow our heads?